Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus. Welcome to our listeners, a warm welcome, warm Pacific greetings, and it's a great day in Auckland, stunning day after the rainiest weekend ever. Everybody will be thrilled because they'll be getting their washing done they couldn't do on the weekend, and I know that it's a great day because I've just spoken with our guest this morning, Fala Holangi, who's a community organiser for the Living Wage. Talofa, Fala, good morning.
And welcome. Talofa and Marie, how are you?
Yeah. I'm good, and I'm very sunny and bright on this great day. And I wanted to ask you, how's your day going?
My day has been really fabulous and very positive because the buzz among our community groups, supporters of the living wage, because of the submissions that so they're all putting in their submissions for the living wage to support Auckland Council to pay their workers a living wage rate. So that has been really, really good, and I'm feeling, you know, on top of the world, Anne Marie, to be honest.
Oh, isn't that lovely? I can remember you a few weeks back in Aotea Square with a whole bunch of Pacific workers wearing the living wage T-shirts, all busy with their forms out getting the public to sign on. So that's been a great initiative, and like many, week by week there's submission forms piling up. I want to just backtrack a minute to a previous program where I brought this topic up and talked also about the annual plan. The annual plan, you're right, it is about the budget. The annual plan is when Auckland Council sets its direction and its policies that dictate how the funds will be spent that ratepayers pay the council. So on this occasion, they have a set form at the back of the Our Auckland magazine.
Yeah.
And in that form, there are five key questions. And one of them is about should the council pay the living wage. So your submission forms, you've taken that key question out, and you've taken that key question to communities. But many people have received the Our Auckland magazine in their letterboxes, and they might not have actually read through it and realised that there is a submission form at the back, and they could be submitting about the living wage. Now, I've talked on the program, so the regular listeners will have quite a background about the living wage, but for new listeners, the living wage has been brought in by Wellington Council. It has been brought in by councils in the UK. And it doesn't mean that ratepayers have extra rates to pay. What it means is it's actually cost neutral. That is, it doesn't cost more because of the savings that it creates. It creates savings from people not taking sick leave as often, people not changing jobs as often. Because when you're on a very low wage and on the minimum wage, it can be a struggle to get. You might be doing 3 hours here and 3 hours over there, and you've got to travel to these different roles just to make enough money to pay your rent, and you still can't feed your kids at the end of it. So it isn't stable work. Often it's casual work. So it's very difficult. Sometimes the hours change. Like if you're a library assistant, they ring you up and want you one day, but the next Wednesday they don't want you. So it isn't always regular work either. So I'm wondering, Fala, if you can actually outline to me how the Pacifica communities are deeply affected by whether or not the living wage is paid.
I mean, as we all know, if you look around, stats tell us that a lot of our PI people are on service jobs, you know, doing all this, the cleaning, the catering, security guards, and these are the jobs that the Auckland Council is contracting out, okay? And these are my people. They work really hard. Some of them actually have 2 to 3 jobs. And Marie, just like what you said. And so when we talk to them about the living wage, whether they support a living wage, what they always say, always say, Father, that will help me stick to probably one job so I don't have to do two to three jobs. Because most of them are under minimum wage at the moment, $15.25. So $20.20, that's a big difference it will make to them. It will make to their families and their lives. And some of them say, we would love to send our kids to music lessons or send them to sports, but we just can't afford the extra money because it's just too much. And that's why, and that's what really annoyed me when people say that my people are lazy. People, no, you have no idea. These people are doing two to three jobs to put food on the table. So that's everyday life for my people, Anne-Marie. So the living wage will be very meaningful to my people because they will be able to participate in their communities. Yeah, they're not asking much. They're not asking for them to go to Disneyland. They just want extra money so they will be able to send their kids to those other extra things, other extra activities. So that they can participate in their communities as well.
Yes, it is about participation and not just being an existing, surviving animal on the fringe of society. I also, last week, visited a Pacifica parents group in Mount Roskill, and that group is set up to really support parents to help their kids do better at school. And there were a lot of teachers at this meeting, and they were very fascinated when I said, look, the number one shift that could make a difference in this community is if the living wage was passed at council, because it will set a standard and it will actually encourage other employers to follow suit. We've got a lot of small businesses who are living wage employers, but the council would be one of the first larger ones to come on board, apart from Warehouse and a few like that. So we're really looking forward to this, and it really requires a big response from communities, a big response from everybody that cares to see a decent society and an opportunity for all to participate.
I mean, and another thing as well, Anne-Marie, was some parents are saying, yes, we are struggling at the moment, but if we can save, because they say living wage will make a difference as well, because they will be able to put some money aside and save for their kids so that they won't be getting student loans and things. Some of them are actually thinking of saving, you know, so that they can send their kids to universities and all that kind of thing. So they, and so those are the kind, that's the kind of thinking that some of these parents are having as well. They would love to save up so that their kids so they will be able to send their kids to further studies, and so they will end up with better jobs, better pay, and all that kind of thing. But they say, at the moment, we're struggling, but we're struggling to make sure that our kids, we are investing in our kids to make sure that they will have a good future.
Well, that's what it's all about. It's about being able to nurture dreams and have a future, and have hope. And if
just
you
like
can't...
everybody else,
Well, if you can't save, if you're not actually actively saving, then you're not really future-focused. And if you look at successful people in the world, no matter where they started, they all had a savings habit. So getting that savings habit going is very important. It's also important for our economy because at the moment we have too high a debt level. And it's not the public debt that's so high, it's the private debt. It's people borrowing just to exist, just to get by week to week and living off credit cards and things. And it's that type of living that's actually bad for the whole country. So if we could get a savings culture going amongst Pacifica people, it will have huge impact on how people value themselves, how people respect themselves and how others respect them, and they will have more choices.
I mean, and at the end of the day, and that's what it's all about. I mean, some of our people are already, they know how to save, but, you know, the rest, especially those who are the low paid, you know, they
that's
say,
right.
Well, we can't even afford to, you know, to save because the pay is too small. And so, and that's what the living wage is so relevant to. You know, not just Pacific Islands, but our recent migrants here too. And, but I can only speak for my people. But, you know, it's a very positive way. It's really good to have Auckland Council doing the right thing. And, it's steering us to the right direction, just like Wellington Council. Mm.
Yes. Well, I have met some of the cleaners in at the council when I've gone to the town hall for meetings. I've met them cleaning in the toilets. I've met them in the corridors. I've talked to them. And, yeah, they are all very receptive to the idea of the living wage. And I think that really we just have to get the message out. We have to let as many people know that the closing date for submissions is the 27th of March.
Yeah.
At 5 p.m. And any way in which you can get hold of the Our Auckland, if you didn't get it in the letterbox, go to your local library because it's there. It'll be there. There'll be copies there. And also any community meetings in your neighbourhood, get along to them and talk about it and even take spare copies of the form with you. I know some people are photocopying the form just to make sure that, you know, people can get to sign it. So whatever way you can support this, please do.
This would be great. Yeah, we would really appreciate it. It's all about reducing poverty in our communities, you know, and Marie, so that will be good. Yeah.
And so this is a special week, and it's marvellous that the sun's out and shining for the Polyfest. The ASB Polyfest opened this morning. So isn't that great?
Yeah, it is. Our young people are out there celebrating their heritage, their culture, and who they are, because we always encourage our young people, Anne-Marie, who are New Zealand-born, who do not really know much about their culture. So we always tell them that, you know, if you know who you are and where you're from, I tell you, you will be able to hold your head high everywhere you go in New Zealand, because you know who you are and where you come from. So, and that's why they're celebrating the ASB Polyfest is a really good message and positive for young people to make sure that, yes, I'm a New Zealand born, but I am still a Tuvaluan no matter what. And that's something that nobody else can take away from me, and be proud of your heritage. Mm-hmm. And, this week will be a great week and for young people celebrating who they are. Yeah.
Indeed. And then we've got the Pacifica Festival on the weekend with all the wonderful food stalls and entertainment stages and activities from all the different Pacific cultures.
Yeah, we've got Pacifica Festival. Unfortunately, not this weekend, but it's on the 25th and the
26th. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm running a week ahead, aren't I?
No. They're doing it that way because like a lot of our young people from the Polyfest, they would love to perform on their stages in the different islands.
Yes.
But they can't because they haven't shown their performance yet. So that's why now we have to have the Polyfest first.
Mm.
So when they finish the competition and all, and then they can showcase what they have what they have shown at ASB Polyfest at Pacifica Festival. Like if they're from the Tongan group, they can do that. Some of the Tuvalu and, you know, all the kind of things. Yeah. So that's the whole idea behind it,
Oh, brilliant. You know, I was talking with our regular presenter, Will Ilolahia, way back when we first got the idea of this program together, to have a Pacific flavour once a month on the Senior Focus program. And what I noticed in this conversation was how he was amazed that there were Pākehā, there were New Zealand born people from a English background who had never been to Pacifica Festival, never actually gone along, and yet we know tourists flock in because it's a great experience for them. So I'm suggesting to people this time that if you've never been, it's a wonderful way to sample all the variety that Pacific nations have to offer in culture.
Exactly. Come down to Pacifica on the 25th and 26th of March, Saturday and Sunday, because there are 2 days that you're celebrating that. Yeah, it will be a good opportunity. You're right.
And can you give us a steer on the location?
At Western Springs.
Right.
On Saturday the 25th and Sunday the 26th. So they are both down at Western Springs, where you will be, I believe you'll have 9 different stages for all the 9 different islands in the Pacific. So I think mainly we've got Samoa, Tonga, Cook Islands, Fiji, Tuvalu, Tokelau, Kiribati, Hawaii, and of course our Tangata Whenua. Yeah. So I believe those are the different stages you'll be seeing in all the different cultures on the day. Yeah.
Wonderful. So I'm going to say thank you, Fala Holangi, for coming in and sharing with us. I really enjoy having you on the show, and I wish you all the best with your submission gathering.
And before we go, Anne-Marie, can I just once again remind your listeners, they can also make their own Living Wage submission to support the Living Wage on www.livingwageaction.org.nz. That's an online submission that they can do to support our Living Wage submissions. www.livingwageaction.org.nz. And thank you for having me on your program today, Anne-Marie.
It's a pleasure, Fala. And go well. Haere ra. And for our listeners, we're going to switch to a music track now, one of my favourite albums from Tim Finn, Bic Runga and Dave Dobbin live, Together in Concert album, and the track is called Good Together, and I think it sort of signifies the strength we have in diversity in New Zealand. Listening to Dave Dobbin, Tim Finn and Bic Runga on that track from Together in Concert live. And Dave is doing a live tour of New Zealand again, so don't miss that if you enjoy his music. He's always great in front of an audience. I mean, some magic happens with him. I remember him playing in the Hagley Park after the anniversary no, it wasn't the anniversary, but after the searching for the right word here, the official ceremony to acknowledge the USAR people that worked on the earthquake recovery program and all the volunteers, and the whole park was just buzzing, and Dave just had everybody just in the palm of his hand. It was brilliant. So having been in that situation and experienced the magic he can do, I'm looking forward to going to that concert. Now, I have in the studio with me Will Ilalahia, and Will is our regular guest on the program, focusing on Pacifica events and activities and themes about culture. And this morning I want to talk with Will about the Easter Sunday trading issue, because it's been coming up. I've watched local board chairs commenting online in the council family, communicating very strongly that they really want to support communities and families and want to make sure that the shops, where possible, are closed to ensure that there's protection for the New Zealand way of life, if you like. What's special about one or two times in the year when families can really get together? And I'd like to just say hi and Malu Alili, welcome to the show today, and I'd like your comments on this and how you see this impacting on Pacifica families specifically.
Yeah, Mara Lee, Anne, and thanks again for allowing me to come on your very important show of for our people here in Tamaki Makaurau and the rest of New Zealand. It's ironic, Anne, that, you know, if we listen to New Zealand's national anthem, that it talks about acknowledging God. I mean, our anthem basically is a hymn, a prayer in regard to God. And here the powers to be, or the neo-liberalists, as I would call them, are now trying to desecrate, actually, a day that it's very important in our, not only in our religion, those of us that are Christians, but in our psyche as New Zealanders, because it's in our national anthem. You know, if we decide to, allow this to go ahead. And, you know, it's such a busy life for all of us that Easter Sunday, for some of us, it's an important day to acknowledge that, JC, or Jesus Christ, had put his life on the line for us. But not for other New Zealanders. We haven't got that many days that we can have to spend with family or have a rest from our hectic schedules that we're working hard out to just try and pay for the rent or the mortgage or whatever. And these days are actually good to spend quality time with our family, our kids, our mokopunas. And so yet here's another neoliberalist attempt by the powers to be to try and put money as the most important thing in our life.
Yes, and very well said. And I was thinking about one of my council colleagues who pointed out very eloquently that it's not a protected holiday, even though it's Easter Sunday and we've traditionally had it as a holiday. It's not actually an official public holiday day of the official number of public holiday days we have in the year. So it's not protected by Act of Parliament. It's actually been there by tradition, but not by legal protected holiday status.
Well, it should be, because, you know, and it should be because it's in our national anthem. If we decide to desecrate Easter Sunday and have it like any other Sunday, and where people are forced to work, especially in the retail service area, and to open up for meals, then we might as well change the national anthem.
That's
how serious I feel. That, you know, let's stop being a hypocrite here. If we really feel are true New Zealanders, then why do we have a national anthem that actually acknowledges God.
Yeah, I think this
we actually ask God to protect us. That we actually ask God in the national anthem to keep our country the way it is. And then there's only a few days in the year that we acknowledge God in that sense. That's Christmas and Easter. And then now we're now saying, no, forget about it. We'll open it up for another day just to make more money, because that's what it is. It's to make more money. Mm. No other reason.
I think some people are saying that employers give people the choice, and people will have the choice whether they go to work on Sunday under the law. But we all know the reality is that if the employer says, I want you to work, very few people are going to say no, because they don't want to put their job at risk.
Yeah, but the other thing too that's quite crucial here is that, you know, it's a day of, a day off for a lot of us.
Mm.
And we don't have that many days left now to spend time with family. So, again, as I said on the last program, you know, if people start blaming the young ones for doing stupid things or whatever, or parents not being able to spend time with their children, well, here is the government and local council, because it's left now the councils to decide.
Mm.
The national government has passed a buck and handed to the councils to decide whether Easter Sunday should be open for retailers to open up. My bottom line is, if that's the case, then let's change the national anthem. We're being hypocrites by having a national anthem acknowledging God, and then yet on Easter Sunday they want to open the shops.
Yes, and thank you for that very strongly put statement, because I think it does encapsulate the whole essence of this dilemma for people on council. I mean, obviously, councils are trying to stimulate economic development, and businesses are looking to them for that support. But equally well, communities and families are looking for support too, for their way of life and their opportunities to be together and strengthen one another. And that's very important. I mean, the council has a very strong policy around empowering communities. And if it means anything, then this could be one of its most critical test cases, I think. It won't be the local boards that are not giving this view. They will be supporting communities and families very strongly. In fact, one of the long-standing board members from out west is a pharmacist, and he pointed out how, he didn't enjoy the fact that his business had to be open on the weekends, on Sundays, because that meant less time with his family, and he really coveted that time, and he was very in support of keeping the status quo where at all possible. So there's a lot of support, I think, coming from the local board level. It's at the governing body level, and the irony is that local boards do have a governance role, but how loudly their voices count when it gets to the council table is another question. So
the other thing, Anne, to highlight this issue here is that New Zealanders love the All Blacks,
right?
And yet, when this bill went through, the people that spearheaded against this opening on Sunday was including one of our famous All Blacks, Michael Jones.
Yes.
So again, if people are going to go ahead and do this, then we're actually going against some of our idols, Michael Jones, Officer Tonu'u. Most of the All Blacks have said that they don't, they shouldn't be open on those days.
Mm.
A lot of them don't even play on Sundays.
Mm, that's true. It's a watershed time for us to consider, whether we consider ourselves a Christian nation or not.
Yeah, but even if we see ourselves as multi-secular in regard to having Muslims and Hindus and all that, the issue here also is that we don't have that many days that we can have off to spend with family.
And everybody, everybody gets to get that time to nurture family, which is so important. And I think that's, I mean, it doesn't matter what religion you are, it's still a holiday, it's still a time out for family, it's still a time when you don't have to work. And I think that's the important thing. Now, I have to say that we've reached the end of our program today. It's been quite a full program. Thank you for contributing, Will. And we look forward to having you next month, and we'll have a really full jam session again with lots of issues, I'm sure.
Yeah, Marlo, and for the opportunity, and thanks again for bringing this topic up. And catch you when we catch you.
Yes, indeed.